Greetings. My name is Saul of Tarsus, known to many of you now as Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. My journey from a fierce persecutor of Christians to a devoted follower of Christ is one of profound transformation and divine intervention. Today, I will share my story, a story that not only changed my life but also altered the course of history for the early Christian church. Imagine being completely certain of your beliefs, only to have your world turned upside down in a single, blinding moment. This is my story, a tale of redemption, grace, and the power of divine love. Join me as I recount the events that led to my conversion and the subsequent impact it had on my mission and ministry. I was born in Tarsus, a city of significant cultural and economic importance in the Roman province of Cilicia. From a young age, I was immersed in the traditions of my Jewish heritage. My parents were devout Jews, and they ensured that I was raised with a deep reverence for the law. Tarsus was a bustling metropolis, but my heart was always set on Jerusalem, the center of our faith. When I was old enough, my parents sent me to Jerusalem to study under the great Rabbi Gamaliel. Under his guidance, I immersed myself in the study of the Torah and the traditions of our people. Gamaliel was a wise and knowledgeable teacher, and I excelled in my studies. I became known for my zeal and dedication to the law, and I took pride in my heritage and my knowledge of the scriptures. As I grew older, my zeal for the law only intensified. I became deeply concerned about a new sect that had emerged, followers of Jesus of Nazareth. To me, they were heretics, spreading dangerous ideas that threatened the purity of our faith. I believed it was my duty to eradicate this movement and protect the traditions of our ancestors. I sought out Christians wherever they were, arresting them and even approving of their executions. One of the most notable events during this time was the stoning of Stephen. Stephen was a deacon in the early Christian church, known for his wisdom and spirit. When he was brought before the Sanhedrin, he spoke boldly about Jesus and accused the Jewish leaders of resisting the Holy Spirit. His words enraged the council, and they dragged him out of the city to stone him. I stood by, approving of his execution, holding the cloaks of those who threw the stones. Stephen's death only fueled my determination to destroy the followers of Jesus. My campaign against the Christians led me to Damascus. I had obtained letters from the high priest, giving me authority to arrest any Christians I found there and bring them back to Jerusalem. As I traveled with my companions, a sudden light from heaven flashed around me. It was brighter than the sun, and I fell to the ground, blinded by its brilliance. Then I heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" I was terrified and confused. I asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The voice replied, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." My companions heard the sound but did not see anyone. Trembling and astonished, I realized that everything I had believed was wrong. I was led by the hand into Damascus, blind and unable to see for 3 days. During this time, I neither ate nor drank, reflecting on the encounter and its implications. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, instructing him to go to me. Understandably, Ananias was hesitant, knowing my reputation. But the Lord reassured him, saying that I was his chosen instrument to proclaim his name to the Gentiles, their kings, and the people of Israel. Ananias obeyed and came to me, placing his hands on me and saying, "Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from my eyes, and my sight was restored. I got up, was baptized, and regained my strength. From that moment, my life's mission was transformed. The persecutor of Christians had become a follower of Christ, ready to spread the very faith he once tried to destroy. After my conversion and healing, I stayed with the disciples in Damascus. I began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. The people who heard me were astonished, saying, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" But I grew more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. My boldness in proclaiming the gospel led to plots against my life. The Jews conspired to kill me, watching the city gates day and night. But my followers took me by night and lowered me in a basket through an opening in the wall. Thus began my journey of spreading the gospel, facing persecution, and enduring hardships for the sake of Christ. When I returned to Jerusalem, the disciples were understandably wary of me. They remembered my past and feared my intentions. But Barnabas took me to the apostles and described how I had seen the Lord on the road and that the Lord had spoken to me. He told them how I had preached fearlessly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. Because of Barnabas's support, I was accepted by the apostles and moved freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. I debated with the Hellenistic Jews, but they too tried to kill me. When the believers learned of this, they took me down to Caesarea and sent me off to Tarsus. This marked the beginning of my missionary journeys, spreading the gospel across the Roman Empire and establishing numerous churches. My first missionary journey began in Antioch, where the Holy Spirit set apart Barnabas and me for the work to which we were called. We traveled to Cyprus and then to cities in Asia Minor, preaching the gospel and establishing churches. We faced opposition and persecution, but we also saw many people come to faith in Jesus. In Lystra, I was stoned and left for dead, but I survived and continued preaching the gospel. This journey was the beginning of my lifelong mission to spread the message of Jesus to the Gentiles. I saw firsthand the power of the gospel to transform lives and break down cultural and ethnic barriers. Despite the hardships and dangers, I was determined to fulfill the calling that Jesus had given me on the road to Damascus. As the number of Gentile converts grew, a significant controversy arose regarding whether they needed to follow Jewish laws, particularly circumcision. This issue was brought to the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for resolution. During the council, I testified about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done among the Gentiles through my ministry. Peter also spoke, reminding everyone that God had already shown his acceptance of the Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit. James, the brother of Jesus, ultimately concluded that Gentile believers should not be burdened with the full yoke of the law but should follow a few essential guidelines. This decision was a significant step in the early church, affirming that salvation through Jesus Christ was available to all, regardless of cultural or ethnic background. After the council, Barnabas and I planned to visit the churches we had established during our first journey. However, a disagreement arose between us regarding John Mark, who had deserted us on the previous trip. Barnabas wanted to take him along, but I did not. As a result, Barnabas took Mark, and I chose Silas as my new companion. On this second journey, we revisited the churches and traveled further into Europe, including cities like Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Athens, and Corinth. In Philippi, we met Lydia, a seller of purple goods, who became a believer and supported our ministry. We also faced imprisonment but were miraculously freed by an earthquake. Despite the challenges, many people came to faith, and new churches were established. On my third missionary journey, I focused on strengthening the churches and continuing to spread the gospel. I spent a significant amount of time in Ephesus, teaching and performing miracles. Ephesus was a major center of commerce and religion, and my ministry there had a profound impact on the city. Many people abandoned their idolatrous practices and turned to the living God. However, my presence in Ephesus also led to a riot instigated by the silversmiths who made idols of the goddess Artemis. They saw their livelihood threatened by the growing number of Christians. Despite the chaos, the church in Ephesus continued to grow and flourish. After my time in Ephesus, I felt compelled by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, knowing that I would face persecution there. On my way, I visited the churches I had founded, encouraging the believers and strengthening their faith. In Jerusalem, I was arrested after being falsely accused of bringing Gentiles into the temple. The mob that seized me was intent on killing me, but Roman soldiers intervened and took me into custody. As I was being led to the barracks, I requested to speak to the crowd. Granted permission, I shared my testimony, recounting my encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus and my subsequent conversion. Despite my sincere appeal, the crowd reacted violently, and the commander ordered that I be taken inside for questioning and flogging. However, when I revealed my Roman citizenship, the commander was alarmed and halted the proceedings. As a Roman citizen, I was entitled to a fair trial and protection from unlawful punishment. I was placed under guard and my case was referred to the governor. Over the next few years, I endured a series of trials and imprisonments. I stood before the Sanhedrin, where my declaration of belief in the resurrection caused a fierce dispute between the Pharisees and Sadducees. The Roman commander, fearing for my safety, transferred me to Caesarea, where I was tried before Governor Felix. Although Felix found no fault in me, he kept me imprisoned, hoping for a bribe. After 2 years, Felix was succeeded by Festus, who also found no grounds for my execution but sought to appease the Jewish leaders by sending me back to Jerusalem. To avoid this, I exercised my right as a Roman citizen to appeal to Caesar. Festus agreed, and I was sent to Rome for trial. My journey to Rome was fraught with danger and adventure. I was placed under the guard of a centurion named Julius, and we embarked on a perilous sea voyage. We faced numerous challenges, including a violent storm that lasted for 2 weeks. Despite my warnings, the ship's crew attempted to sail through the storm, resulting in shipwreck on the island of Malta. Miraculously, all aboard survived, and we were welcomed by the islanders. During our stay, I was bitten by a venomous snake but suffered no harm, which led the islanders to believe I was a god. I took the opportunity to preach the gospel and heal the sick, including the father of the island's chief official. After 3 months, we continued our journey to Rome. Upon arrival in Rome, I was placed under house arrest, but I was allowed to live in a rented house and receive visitors. For 2 years, I preached the gospel boldly and without hindrance, welcoming all who came to hear the message of Jesus Christ. I wrote several letters to the churches I had founded, encouraging them and addressing various issues they faced. These letters, known as the epistles, form a significant portion of the New Testament and continue to guide and inspire believers today. During my time in Rome, I also appeared before Caesar, fulfilling the mission given to me by Jesus. Although the outcome of this trial is not recorded in the scriptures, tradition holds that I was eventually released and continued my missionary work, possibly traveling to Spain as I had intended. After my release, I continued to preach the gospel and strengthen the churches. However, I was eventually arrested again during the reign of Emperor Nero. This time, I was imprisoned in harsh conditions and faced imminent execution. Despite the circumstances, I remained steadfast in my faith, writing my final letters to Timothy, encouraging him to remain faithful to the ministry. In my second letter to Timothy, I wrote, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me but also to all who have longed for his appearing." 2 Timothy 4:7-8. According to tradition, I was executed by beheading, a method reserved for Roman citizens, and thus ended my earthly journey. But my legacy and the impact of my ministry continue to this day, inspiring countless believers to live faithfully and boldly for Christ. Reflecting on my life, I see the incredible grace and mercy of God. From a persecutor of Christians to an apostle of Christ, my story is a testament to the transformative power of encountering Jesus. My letters to the churches, filled with theological insights and practical advice, continue to shape Christian doctrine and practice. Through my missionary journeys, I witnessed the spread of the gospel across the Roman Empire, breaking down cultural and ethnic barriers and establishing a diverse and vibrant Christian community. The churches I founded and the leaders I mentored carried on the work, ensuring the continued growth and spread of the faith. My story is not just about my personal transformation, but about the power of the gospel to change lives and communities. It is a story of redemption, grace, and the unstoppable force of God's love. As I conclude my story, I encourage you to reflect on your own journey of faith. No matter where you have been or what you have done, there is always hope for transformation through Jesus Christ. His grace is sufficient for all, and His love knows no bounds. I leave you with these words from my letter to the Philippians. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength, Philippians 4:13. May you find strength, courage, and hope in the Lord, and may your life be a testament to His power and grace. Thank you for listening to my story. May God bless you and guide you on your journey of faith.